Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart. Show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. My name is Lynn, and I'm your host for the show today. I do hope that we don't have an issue with the show today. I've got some storms coming up in my area, but hopefully they'll wait until after the show's all done, because I definitely am excited about today's show. To let you know about some things I have coming up, on May 23rd, I'm going to have Ann Gillis, who is described as the foremost expert on ease, talking to us about easeosophy. And I don't really know a whole lot about Ann, so I'm looking forward to finding out more about her on the 23rd, which is also our anniversary show. We'll have been here 2 years, and I'm excited to say that I'm still loving it just as much today, probably more than when I first started. On April 6th, we're going to have Sid Corpy talking to us about good grief, finding peace after pet loss. April 20th, we're going to have Stephen Victor back, and he has been on the show before. Stephen's a really dynamic speaker, so you can find him in our archives. We're not sure what his topic's going to be. He's been out of the country, so he's going to be getting back to me at the end of the March about what he wants to talk about, but guaranteed to be a good show. Just to let you know, in case you haven't listened to any of the recent archives or weren't on last time's show, I am doing a retreat with Karen Wrigley, the animal communicator, which I had on here in December. We're doing a retreat in Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia area. We'd love to have you join us there. You can go to www.thehonoringhour.com/experiencingyou.html to see that. I will have a link to that set up from the Honoring Hour page. I do hope that you check out the website. I usually have it updated, although I can't say that that's the truth today, www.thehonoringhour.com. And, of course, through Blog Talk, you can listen to all of our archives. So that leads us to today's show. And I would like to say that I initially enjoyed our guest today through a raw foods newsletter that she puts out with a friend of hers, her partner. And I don't know a thing about raw food, so I have been reading these newsletters and finding them fascinating and entertaining. And I invited her to be on the show. And to my delight and surprise, I found out that she did something else that I felt was so completely appropriate for the show and what she does. So I'd like to welcome to the show Julie Hoffenberger. Julie, how are you doing?
I'm good, Lynn. How are you?
Great. And what I didn't mention, and I apologize for that, is that you do, you have another company, Authentic Woman Coach, and you're actually talking to us today about dissolve your fears, speak your truth, and live your purpose. And I couldn't think of a better topic for what, you know, I like to get across here on the Honoring Hour. So I'm so grateful to you for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This is a topic that absolutely is my own purpose and my own passion. So I love to talk about it and just get people pumped up out there.
Wonderful. So, Julie, since I don't know a lot about you personally, do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe how you came to being doing the stuff that you do and being a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a wild ride. I'm in the midst of writing a book about it right now because it's just so much to go into, but, basically I found myself sort of relying on the patterns that I learned as a kid, which was to get a good job, make sure you have something to fall back on, sort of rate what you do based on how good the insurance and the benefits are. And I was kind of raised in that sort of a background where how much money you make and how secure your life is really a reflection of whether or not you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I soon find out that that is not really what spoke to me anymore. I couldn't just do jobs I wasn't happy in. I've done everything from, work in health food stores with crazy managers that are verbally abusive to, I don't know, the list could go on. I've been an art teacher with having, 37, 38 kids in my room multiple times a day, throwing sponges and paint at each other and anything you can imagine. And what I found was that I wasn't really living authentically. I wasn't doing what was speaking to me. And it took me a long time to even figure out what would begin to speak to me. But I allowed myself to go into many processes, you know, which we can talk about as well, to start pulling that out. And eventually I moved closer and closer. Eventually my partner and I started, as you mentioned, the Healing Patch, which is a company to inspire people to get a little healthier and add more raw foods into their lives, which I love. We still have that company. But I found that health was only one aspect of what I wanted to touch on. And there were so many women coming to me saying, you know, I'm inspired by the videos you do. I just feel so much energy. And I found that I needed to give people more than just health information. I needed to give them inspiration to start stepping into their purpose and begin releasing fear about money and stress and everything that comes to us. And so that's kind of how I came in to do the work that I'm doing now, which is Authentic Woman Coach. If people want to check it out, they can just go to authenticwomancoach.com. That's kind of a brief intro for you.
Well, I think that's great. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, in hearing you talk about how you came about, you're like a dream come true for me. I love it when people say, I couldn't keep living that norm. I couldn't keep doing what others expected. I had to follow my heart. You know, that's the message that I really want to get out to people and let them know, you know, it's okay to step out of mainstream. It's okay to do what you love. And not just that old cliche, do what you love and the money will follow. But, you know, if you find happiness in your life, you're going to have what you need. If you find that true, genuine authenticity, everything you need comes to you. So I'd love to hear about your process, because that's really the part that people get tripped up on. How do they go from that mainstream to that life of authenticity?
Yeah, you know, the answer always seems so complicated because we go to our brain and our mind to try to figure out things. You know, we're always wrestling with, like, well, what's my strategy? What do I really have to do to start living the life that I dream of? So if we take an example of, let's say, a stay-at-home mom who's extremely busy and she wants to go through the process of going into school. Let's say she wants to be a policewoman. It's her dream. She's always wanted to do it. But she has always made the excuse that her kids come first, she can't live her dreams, blah, blah, blah. So her mind is immediately going to go to, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have this, I don't have that. So we go into thinking about all the things we don't have, and that's the first thing that has to stop, is all the reasons that come in and sabotage your vision. Because anything's possible. I mean, I've seen, you know, stay-at-home moms who are living in the barrio get financial aid and develop education for themselves, and they just choose it, and they take one class whenever they can, get themselves to school, and live their dream. So if people can do it with absolutely no money in the most poverty of situations, then there's no excuse for any of us. So the first thing is just to kind of cut out all the sabotaging thoughts, which is the first thing I had to do. And the next thing that you want to do is just say, what makes me feel good right in this moment? Because everything we want to develop ourselves into of feeling good has to come from that place already being lived. So, you know, if you're the stay-at-home mom and you want to become a policewoman, as we use that as our example, the first thing that she has to do is either volunteer an hour at the police force. She can start watching things in the media that are stories about what she loves. She can find herself a role model of somebody who has been a very busy stay-at-home mom that went into that position and did what she did and used her stories for her own momentum. So as soon as she does that, she's flipping the energy. So you need to do something to step into the place where you begin to feel good. And that's the first place we go with women. So regardless of what they call me about, for coaching or in workshops or anything, no matter what their fear is, we just go to the place that says, well, what would make you feel better? What would feel good right now? You know, if you want to develop a health company, watch a video about how to start a health company. Watch a video about getting healthy. Share something with your family and, you know, be a health coach to them in your family and practice and do the things that make you feel good. Because when you feel good, there's a chain reaction that happens, and you're going to draw to you everything else that feels good from that experience. So that's kind of the beginning of where we go, is just getting to the feeling of where you want to be in life.
Okay. So what do you do? I mean, like, when you were doing the negative thinking, because stopping that negative thinking is not as easy as one. I mean, for me, it worked for me. I did it. But I hear women complain, and men too. I mean, because this show, you have authentic women coaching, but it definitely applies to men as well.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the tools, the tricks, or is that something you feel like you can share in helping them stop that negative thinking?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
I mean,
the complaint I hear. How do they do that?
Yeah, sure. You know, different things work for different people. There's a lot of tricks in the bag you can use. One trick is to go about the way you would teach somebody to meditate, which is also just the clearing of the mind and getting into a place where you have a little bit more stillness. So, you know, that technique is just to recognize a thought when it happens and then say, okay, I am now outside of myself seeing that thought. I see it, I honor it, and I'm letting it go now. So no matter how many times a day you have a sabotaging thought, your job is to come outside of it, to not be in the thought and allow yourself to be fully sabotaged, but just to start noticing that you're having them. Because people have these thoughts subconsciously. They completely sabotage themselves on a subconscious level. They don't even realize it. So if they can start seeing what the thoughts are and knowing what they are, they know where they need to go. So if you're having a thought about money, like, oh, I'll never have enough money, you can change that thought to, right now, I don't clearly see a path to the money, but I know that I'm going to have that clarity. So you just recognize the thought you're having and you switch it into something different. And it's going to feel sort of unreal at first. It's going to feel where you're sort of battling yourself, and that's okay. Nobody ever said it has to happen overnight and then it's going to be 100% perfect smooth ride and all these things are simple. It takes like a little time to begin working with your mind, but that's usually one of the things that we can begin to do to start changing the negative thinking. Another thing is to look at people who are not victims of negative thinking anymore. You know, stop following people like all the stories you hear on the news and everybody else who's just been, you know, totally bombarded by all the crap that life has dealt them. Stop listening to those people and start listening to people who are open and expanded and who don't let the sabotaging thoughts come into their lives, whether that's, you know, Louise Hay or Don Miguel Ruiz or Esther Hicks or whoever you like to follow and whoever inspires you. And that's a good way to go, too, to start changing the feeling and let those thoughts just sort of fall away.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good point that you brought up in terms of the news. And that comes up a lot of times when I tell people I don't watch TV. I mean, I'll watch comedies. And I'll, you know, I'm more of a movie watcher. I do like the media, but I don't watch the news. The only news that I ever really watch, if at all, is the weather. And usually I'll just go straight to the weather source for my area. But I remember personally thinking, I guess it's been probably 8 or 9 years ago, when I was first getting that message of, you know, stop watching TV. Because that's the first thing I did in the morning. I'd turn on the television so I could catch up. I could catch up with everything. And while I was getting ready for work, and the idea of turning off that television was horrifying to me. I didn't know how I would exist. And now, honestly, I don't know how I managed with the TV on and all that stuff coming in. How did you do? Were you always a TV watcher, a news watcher? I mean, what was your story with that?
No, I was never a news watcher by choice. I fell into patterns of avoiding my life by getting sucked into TV. So I got into a lot of reality TV or just whatever I could come home and do. I mean, I would, like, come home, grab a Starbucks, lay on the couch, and watch TV for hours. That was just my pattern because I was so exhausted by life. But, you know, I'm the same way. I love movies. There are aspects of media that are beautiful. I don't think we need to throw everything away, but getting your mind off the news and off of the fear tactics that are in the media and everything else that comes with it is a really good place to start. So you may want to start by switching to a Netflix subscription and ordering inspirational movies, you know, whatever spiritual or religious background you subscribe to, get videos that fit into that, or nature documentaries, or reality programming that is inspirational. like Man versus Wild, where he goes out and, you know, does all these wild things we can only dream about in the natural world. So, you know, that's so healthy. That alone can switch your energy up just tremendously. Because I can remember my stepdad having the news on 24 hours a day in every single room. He'd leave the room and he'd put it on in the next room for when he would go back into the room. And so I had negative messages playing subconsciously to me all the time. And it's hard to imagine that, you know, we won't know what's going on in the world if we turn the news off. But really you do. It's kind of interesting. It's like the world only sends you whatever information you really need based on the area you're at. You know, a great synchronicity example of this morning I was posting information about this show on Facebook, and I saw a message about an oil spill that happened on the beach that we go to probably two or three times a week. And it was just a small one, but it was something that I wasn't aware of. And maybe I would have tried to go surf there or potentially been polluted by this oil or whatever else. But the message came to me. It just did. So I'm open to things that have to do with me directly, but I'm not open to, you know, this rape and that murder and this and that. And not that those things aren't important or that they don't affect the lives of the people going through it, but, you know, it's dramatized and it puts fear in our minds and it makes us freaked out about people and people of certain nationalities. There's a lot of racism that comes with it. So I'm not really interested in buying into that reality. I just trust that I'm going to get the information I need. So, you know, I think kind of that's what you're speaking to also, is that you had to reach a place of trust where you just said, that's it, I'm done. No more news, no more TV. I know how to get the Weather Channel online, and the news I need will come to me. I mean, we're in constant communication with people 24 hours a day. If there was some big flu going around, do you think that really we wouldn't get the news about it? There's no way. So instead of all the dramatization, just let's interact with each other and kind of, you know, get off the TV. So that's probably a very long answer to what you were asking, but...
No, but I think it was so eloquently stated, and you are so right. I mean, I do learn everything I need to know, and I get to sort out all that other BS. I mean, people are fascinated mm-hmm. when I'm talking to local people, and they'll be like, oh, well, it was in the paper. I can't tell you, well, I've never been a paper reader, but I don't read the paper. If I need anything, I'll ask my mom usually for the coupons out of the, you know, the sales ad to see what's on sale at the grocery stores. But, I mean, right. I try not to freak with those either, so... I mean, you're right. When you need to know something, it's going to come up. And Facebook, especially now that Facebook's out there, I definitely find out, you know, plenty from Facebook that I need to know and that's relevant to me. And the rest of the stuff is sorted out. And, you know, like you were saying with, you know, with rapes and murders and stuff, it's not that there's not compassion there. But when you're feeding in that fear, you're not helping that family to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
absolutely.
It wasn't a long-winded answer. It was a very eloquently stated answer, and I greatly appreciate you sharing that. But you're right. I did have to trust, and I really just had to trust that not so much about getting the information, but I had to trust that there was something else to fill that space. It was really, you know, like I watch other people in my life that it's not so much that they need to know what's going on as they just don't trust that empty space, that empty space will be filled. Do you find that that's
mm-hmm.
true? How do you deal with that with your clients?
Yeah, I mean, luckily the people who come to me somehow already seem to have, you know, some kind of a spiritual base. I tend to work with people who, I guess are slightly, I guess you could say, like metaphysical people. They understand the law of attraction already. So I don't usually have to do a whole lot of work with people as far as TV and, you know, these sort of like mainstream world addictions and things like that. It tends to be a little bit more purpose-focused. But if I do meet people who are like that, you know, the best thing you can do is go into like, well, what are you really afraid of? Are you afraid of working now, of doing something that you need to do? Like if you take the TV away, are you afraid of what's going to be there, that you're going to actually have to start looking at what needs to get done now in that time? Or are you afraid of being bored? Are you afraid of missing information, like you're going to be left out of some big, huge worldly information? So So everyone's different, and people are afraid of different things. But anytime we don't want to let go of something, it's due to fear about something. So that's the first place we have to go, is to get into the fear of what it actually is so that we can start working with it. So, you know, if somebody came to me with a problem like that in my coaching, that's where I would go with them. Fortunately, so far, nobody's had issues with TV and stuff. They're already sort of beyond the point where they're watching TV all day. They might have other distractions, but I would say the bulk of people who come to me already don't really relate to the sort of victimization and dramatization of television, I guess.
That's great to hear. It's nice to hear that that there's a whole movement out there that's going that direction. So how do you work with them on finding, you know, sometimes people aren't really even sure what they love. You know, I mean, they're just not, they haven't really opened up to saying yes to something that would fulfill their heart's desires. Do you find that that's sometimes what you're coming across?
Yes, extremely common, definitely. The most common thing, actually, is just that women or anybody in general, because sometimes I'll coach someone who is a man as well. You know, it's just the bulk of my audience are women, so that's who I tend to work with. But, you know, that's huge. People have no idea what they even want. So to begin looking at the purpose, we need to go into, well, there's a variety of things you could do, but for the purposes of this show, we can't get into everything. But, you know, some of the things that can be helpful is to go into your childhood. And before you were kind of molded into whatever family or society or anything else kind of wanted to mold you into without any fault to them, but that's just naturally what happens, what did you used to do? I mean, were you on the beach playing with rocks and stacking them and going crazy? That's what I was doing. You know, I was sitting and having coffee with my mom and all her little friends and talking to people who were 20, 30 years older than me, which is exactly which women I work with now. It's not the 18 to, you know, my age, 35-year-olds that I typically work with. Everybody is much older than me. So the things I did as a kid, the art, the nature, community, women, speaking to people, that's exactly what I brought into my present. So that's the first thing you can do. If you're so disconnected from the kid you came into the world as, that's the place to go to and look. Because some of us played house. Some of us played Army G.I. Joe guys with our friends, and we were constantly physical or doing sports or just going crazy outside. And then we got distracted and lazy later in life, and now sports are no part of our life, even though they were our number one passion as a kid. So if we can start looking to our childhood first, it's a great strategy. I also have a number of visualization strategies, different things they've used in like the Agape church out here, the Michael Beckwith one who was in The Secret. He has a beautiful visualization process that he teaches that I've learned from other people. So there's a lot of things you could do, but I would say go into your childhood first and then start looking at everything you love to do, everything people observed you doing. Like if someone was watching you as a kid, what would they see you do? What were you like socially? What were you like with your relationship? Could you be alone? Could you not be alone? All these things are keys about what we came here to do, because we come here just in pure spirit, ready to just do our job. And then it all gets twisted and crazy by the expectations of the world. But if we can go back to the place, it's usually very simple. I haven't had anybody yet that I've been coaching that has said, oh God, I haven't found it, or I can't do it. There's no way. Everybody, I'm building businesses with people or helping them build their own businesses with women who have now found their purpose and their right in alignment. They're just beelining it right in that direction. So, yeah, it's pretty powerful to look at your childhood.
Yeah, and that's a technique I use a lot as well. And I tell you, you're powerful is such an understatement. It really makes things, it can really make things happen for people. So that's a great idea. So where do you go from there? Once they've discovered that, you know, what it is that they love and you've helped them figure that out, how do they work on transitioning from that point? Because at some point there comes a physical step that has to be taken. And, you know, in your process, like in your coaching, how much hand-holding do you do? And not hand-holding, enabling hand-holding, but just reassuring somebody's here to support you hand-holding.
Very little hand-holding as far as you know, them actually figuring out what they want to do. I help them with process, and I help them with little techniques that can define their purpose and then sort of morph out either a business or a direction based on that. Because I find most women really want to work for themselves and create business, so that's kind of what I specialize in. But, you know, as far as the hand-holding, it doesn't do me any good for me to say, like, okay, well, I think you should do this week. Instead, I say, well, what would empower you this week to do that would be a step in the direction of what you want? So if we find somebody who, for example, I'm working with somebody who wants to be a musician. So, you know, if she can be empowered by saying, well, this week I'm going to create a name for my music business that I'm creating so that I can launch myself, I can brand myself. She might create a business name and sign up on a free website to create herself a website. Or she might say, okay, I'm going to 5 coffee shops this week and I'm going to get myself a gig somewhere where I can just play for donations. But I usually ask the person, well, we now know where you're going. We know what your purpose is. We know what you want to create out of it. But what are some steps you can take in that direction? If they have no idea, I can kind of point them to a couple of things that might be good. But, you know, my job as a handholder is really to just hold the vision for them.
Right.
And to make sure they're staying within the realms of their vision and to make sure they don't have fears that are sabotaging their vision, because I know right away when the fear comes in, so I can work them through that whole process and get rid of it so they can get back onto what they need to be doing. But as far as, like, you know, writing them lists and giving them all these specifics they have to do, it's much more empowering for them to figure out what they have to do for themselves. So that's where we go, is I guide them into the process of deciding for themselves, okay, what are the 3 things I need to get done this week before my next coaching session? And then we revisit it and we talk about, like, everything, the feelings that go with that, how empowering is it, family, obstacles that come into the situation, money, everything. And we just try to strategize together. So does that kind of make sense?
It does. It does. And I have to say this. I was just, it just came to my mind in listening to you and talking, and then the responses that you're giving. I can tell that you really do listen to people. And the reason I bring that up is because I was a friend of mine had invited me to join this organization, and one of the things that they had was you could do a couple of free sessions with a coach that would kind of get you in that direction. And it's, at the time, I was just trying a bunch of different stuff to see what I liked and what I didn't. And so I utilized the service, and I had prepared for the session, done everything I needed to do. And when I went to talk with him, one of my goals had nothing to do with the theme of the organization. It was a personal goal, which is what I was supposed to be doing. And I noticed when he started speaking to me, he completely glossed over what I was saying. Like, there was no, oh, can you tell me more about that? And it was something that would have required an explanation for him. And he just wasn't listening. And from that moment on, I was just done. So, you know, even people that are out there that may have tried a coach before, you know, I can tell, Julie, that you're definitely, you know, you've got a lot of compassion, you've got some excellent listening skills, and you hear what is being said. And that is so key in somebody that's going to help you out. So you're probably a really fantastic coach.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I mean, I think that's the base, the very base you have to start from, is being able to listen to what the person you're working with really wants. I mean, I've had people that begin a business and they say, wait a minute, this isn't feeling right to me. So just because I've invested time with them and they've invested time to move in that direction doesn't mean they can't switch it up. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I have somebody building an art website right now, and she realized, you know, I'd really love to get more like ceremony and community involved in the connection between my art and nature. So I'm helping her drive it in that direction instead. So, you know, we have to take ourselves out of it. We have to listen to what people want. That's why they're there with you. They've never done what they wanted, ever. They've probably always put everything above themselves, always, and never stepped up and said, this is what I want. So we have to hear that first and go in that direction. And it's interesting that you mentioned the sessions that you did, because I do the same thing. I offer, you know, when my schedule allows, I have a couple appointments now where I would be able to do this for anybody listening. I can do a 20-minute free session with people. If you just go to my site, authenticwomancoach.com, you can click on services, scroll all the way down, and you'll see an option for a free coaching service so that people can see what the process is like and see if our energy connects. I think that's important. And we have to see if we can be able to communicate and move forward. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of surprising to me that you experienced a coach who wouldn't listen to you. That's just craziness.
Right. Well, you know, and at the time I was really learning to be able to speak my truth because, you know, it's not mainstream thought. And I was definitely brought up in a family that they're more mainstream. My mother, not so much, but she wasn't outspoken. She was more subtle in her intuition. Mm-hmm. But my sisters are definitely more, like, I mean, they are the epitome of mainstream. So, you know, I was hesitant to speak out, and I drew to me this person that wasn't listening, which was a huge lesson. It's like, you've got to listen to yourself. So,
right.
Definitely
yeah,
something that, yeah, that I put out
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
you have
to bring
kind of
the intuition there. Sorry. Yeah, the intuition is so important. We have to get people into their own intuition. So, I mean, you have to step into that during coaching. You have to say, okay, does this feel good? Is this person I'm coaching with, do they feel right to me? Is their energy what I need? So, you know, that's the purpose. Obviously, who you communicated with, you said, whoa, this person didn't even listen to me. They were, like, on another planet. So you have to kind of just let it go until you find someone who's really there. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, you had to find people in your world who just let you speak your truth. And that's the first place we go. Well, actually more like the second, but it's dissolve your fears, speak your truth, and live your purpose. Those are the kind of three principles I work from. So we work sort of in that direction. And it's true. Like, I don't know. I just went off on a tangent because you mentioned intuition, but that's the point. Like when I come to coaching or whenever there's a session going in or whenever I'm emailing somebody, I just kind of say to the universe, let my ego go aside, regardless of what I think might be good for them. Just let me speak to them whatever they need to hear. It's almost like I just want to be a channel intuitively for whatever can guide them the way that they need to do without my own kind of preconceived notions of right or wrong or how they could make the most money or any of that. So, you know, if anybody out there is working with a coach that doesn't work that way, that doesn't allow the intuition to just come in and have a sense for who this person is, should probably consider getting a new coach or, you know, do it themselves or something and just let your intuition take you into what you need to do because that's your loudest voice. That is should be the clearest and most powerful voice that we listen to.
Right. Well, and I'll say that's another thing that, you know, that tells me that you would definitely be worth working with, you know, for anybody that's out there really is, you know, what I hear you saying is for they need to trust their own intuition as opposed to even your intuition. I mean, you're there to guide them, but you're really there to help them. I mean, that's really what, in my opinion, good coaching is teaching people to act on their own intuition and their own passions.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think that's fantastic. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we brought up, and I just went and double-checked my website. Right now, Julie's information is on the guest page. I'll be moving that to the archives page. And her website, www.authenticwomancoach.com, is on there, but I realize it's not on there as a link. But the words are there if you're having any trouble finding it. And then also, her free 20-minute coaching option to sign up is on there as well. So when I move that to the archives page after today, I'll make sure that that's actually a link. So you can go to www.thehonoringhour.com and then you can go to the archives link. It'll take you there in case you're having any trouble typing in Julie's website, which I don't think you would. It's authenticwomancoach.com. But now you work with people individually, but you also have a retreat coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you'll be doing?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we probably do somewhat similar things in that we bring groups of people together for more intense, powerful communication face-to-face because a lot of the coaching is through Skype or over the phone. And what my true love is to go one step further and work with people face-to-face and just see the changes happening in them right in front of me. So, yeah, I've been holding workshops to dissolve fear here in Ventura, California. So if there's any California listeners, I have a third workshop coming up on dissolving fear sometime in April. If you go to my events page, the information is coming very soon on there. And you do not have to go to the first two to benefit from the third. Everything is kind of its own unit. And then in August, I have a women's retreat. I think it's August 5th through 12th. You can also find it on the events page on AuthenticWomanCoach.com. And this retreat is called Live Your Dreams, Love Yourself. And it's exactly that. It's going to be here in Ojai, California. I don't know, have you ever been to Ojai, Lynn?
I have not been to California, but it is a goal of mine to get there at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the town I live in Ojai is, I mean, it's an absolutely magical place. It's kind of this very strange progressive town in the middle of conservative Southern California. It's really wild. And it's just known for its beautiful healing resorts and spas, and people live in all kinds of crazy alternative housing like yurts and all this wild stuff. And so this piece of land where the retreat is at is held in a place where people will sleep in a yurt or in a dome where there's little window sections cut out where you can see the night stars and you kind of sleep under the oak trees. It's unbelievable. And there are little kivas, like underground ceremony spaces on this land. We're going to have sweat lodge. Everything will be held as the workshops will be held in the form of council. If you'd like information, go to the retreat page on my website. And if you click the council link, you can see what council is all about. But it's just a very traditional way to communicate in a circle with intentional listening and speaking. And I'm having the most amazing reactions from people after my workshops about this process. So it's not going to be like, I'm your teacher, you're my student, you better listen to everything I say at this workshop or this retreat. It's nothing like that. It's like this community and this depth that we create and these friendships. It's going to be absolutely wild. What else? Delicious vegetarian organic food by a really special lady in town who's a cook. And we're going to have an ocean day, nature art, hiking day by the water, in the trees. I mean, I could just go on and on. Everything is like sacred geometry, the way the buildings are built, where we sit for ceremony. It's just, this place is absolute magic. So if anybody out there wants to join us, I made it really affordable for it's a full week retreat, and you can start tapping into what do you really want, or if you already know what you want, we'll work on how you get there, you know, start mapping out a plan to get what you want, which is the live your dreams part. And then the love yourself part is really just releasing the fear and bringing in all the beauty about who and what you are and tapping into the power of that, because that hinders people from going where they want. So that's kind of the flow of the retreat. You got lots of time to save up some bucks and head out here, and I know it'll be worth it. It's just an unbelievable place to be and immerse yourself in.
Yeah, and I say I love the wording that you use, the flow of the retreat, instead of like the schedule of the retreat or what we'll be doing, the flow of the retreat. That was a beautiful word. And it sounds like a great place, a great location.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. I mean, Krishnamurti taught on the lands back in the day, and Annie Besant, and I think even Aldous Huxley was up here. I mean, there were so many influential people that just, they were so powerful and so forward-thinking and really just wanted to create a space that was all about learning for people. There's like a 500-year-old learning tree where we could sit and have workshops under that. I mean, everything there, they practice something called the beauty way, which is make everything more beautiful than how you came to the space. So regardless of what's going on, everything is more beautiful when we leave and when we arrive, which is amazing because it's already beautiful. People can go to the site and see pictures. I'm working on that webpage right now, so just hold tight and stay tuned. There's more coming, or if you have questions, please, please, please send me an email at julie@AuthenticWomanCoach.com. But, yeah, I mean, as you can see, I could just go on forever, which people probably don't want to hear, but, yeah, it's a very truly magical place to be and heal and grow.
That's great. So I just want to reiterate the email address. It's julie@AuthenticWomanCoach.com. which is right. her website, Authentic Women Coach, and you can go to the retreat section in order to find more about this. Is that what you said, Julie?
Yeah, if you just click on events, it's right at the top. You can't miss it. And then scroll down to retreat, and you'll find it. Yeah.
Okay, great. And I wanted to make sure also, now you said on your main page towards the bottom is where they're going to find the free 20-minute coaching link.
At the bottom of the services page. So if people want to directly go there, they can go to authenticwomancoach.com/services.php.
Okay.
Or you can go to my site and just click the services link.
Okay, great. Thanks for putting that up there. So, Julie, is there anything that you want to get across to our listeners? I mean, we've got some time here. We can get into any topic you wanted to talk about, or like any section of this topic you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. First of all, you know, if there's people who have questions in the chat room or they want to call in and just need me to answer something really quick, I'm happy to do that. But, I mean, we can really go in any direction from here. But, you know, one thing I work on with women a lot is just this concept of worth. Women have a lot of trouble saying, like, I'm worth investing in coaching. I'm worth a retreat. I'm worth a workshop. And we have this little blocker that says, I can't do this, that I don't deserve it, or whatever reason is out there. And so I find that it can be really empowering as soon as people sign up for something just to own the fact that they deserve it, that they're not doing something that's taking away from somebody else. All you're doing is giving to yourself, because the universe is abundant. We convince ourselves it isn't, but the universe is there to support us. So as soon as you use that momentum and you gift yourself, it just multiplies. You'll be able to empower yourself to gift more people from that. I mean, I worked with a coach who, at the time, you know, when I didn't have anything to pay him and stuff, and he was helping me, and I'm able to give that to somebody right now who doesn't have money. So by giving to yourself, you can absolutely give to the next person. So I would say that's a big obstacle for women to overcome, is just the notion that I'm worth this, I'm worth the investment, I'm worth the time for myself, I'm worth the visualization for myself, I'm worth immersing myself in a retreat from a week and disappearing from my family and my friends and everyone else just so I can get my own stuff together and get my life moving in the momentum and the direction that it needs to go. I don't know if you find that with women that you work with or anything. Do you find that kind of self-worth issue at all?
I do. And you know, one of the big things is that they feel like they can't take the time out. They've got these schedules with either kids or work or spouses or, you know, even extended family obligations. And, you know, when you're depleted, you just don't have the resources. So I think that's really wise, you know, a way for you to say that is they need to take time for themselves in order mm-hmm. to be able to give. And I love that, you know, you're using the phrase that I use, too, is, you know, to gift yourself. It's just so beautiful. I love that phrase. When you said it, I was like, oh, someone else that uses that phrase.
Yeah, we got to gift ourselves. Absolutely. It's so important. But we don't view it in that way. Every time, you know, I speak to a woman who's like, okay, well, here's the thing. You know, women will sign up for the 20-minute coaching, and they'll do it, and they'll get all pumped and inspired, and then other ones, you can tell, just really have no interest, and that's okay. I mean, there's absolutely no pressure. I mean, I just believe that the right people who need me will come to me, and so those who don't need it, don't need it, and that's okay. I don't fight anybody on it. But what I do notice is that there's some women who come in and will go through a session, or I'll spend a little extra more time with them on that 20-minute session, and they'll start defining certain things for themselves, or they'll begin releasing certain fears that they had. And they're all set and ready, and they'll go, well, I can't do this right now. Can I get back to you in 2 weeks? And I'll say, well, what made you sign up for this 20 minutes right now? What was that deciding factor? And they'll say, well, I was really inspired, or I felt really empowered, or I never do anything for myself, and I thought it was time. And I say, okay, well, in that 2-week period, what's going to happen between now and 2 weeks from now for you to decide whether or not you should sign up and start changing your life and living everything you want? Is there something specific that's going to happen in that 2 weeks? And usually there isn't. They're afraid of it. They can't commit because they're deathly afraid either they're going to have to take action now, or they're going to have to put somebody else second and put themselves first, or they just simply feel they're not worth it. They're absolutely not willing to make the investment, whether they can afford it or not. So it's so common, but they just don't view it as like this beautiful gift that they can give themselves. They view it as like this thing that is an extra thing they have to do. And so if you're in that mind frame, then if coaching is not something you're ready for, you got to be ready. You got to be open and ready and say, yes, I'm sick of living my life this way. I'm ready to live it that way. And then we develop that and we go into it, but not until you see it as a gift to yourself and not like this annoying thing you're going to have to do every week and like, oh, no, I'm going to have to give someone my money and I'm going to have to not spend time with my kids for an hour and, you know, whatever else excuses people come up with, instead of realizing that really it is just an absolute gift to the most, authentic place in yourself.
And, you know, what I find, because I struggled with that, too, financially, it was like, I was like, oh, well, I can't do this. I actually had to do Rolfing. And if anybody's ever listened to any of my shows, I love Rolfing. It's just fantastic, and I love my Rolfer. But I needed it. My body needed it. But needing it wasn't enough to produce the money. So when I started gifting myself and realizing that it helped me and I was more productive and my body was functioning better, it was amazing every time the money would come up. And it wasn't like, when things were tight, it wasn't like, oh, well, here's the money I've got for Rolfing, so I have to sacrifice paying something else. Not only would the money to pay my bills and my necessities come up, but the money for the Rolfing would come too. And it was, when I started looking at it, this is good for me. I can do this. And not only is it good for me, if it's good for me, it's good for everybody else. And the money was always there. Without it.
Yeah, it will show up.
Yeah, yep. The money and the universe
loves to
provide.
It does. We think it doesn't. We convince ourselves it doesn't. We believe all the messages that tell us it doesn't. But I always ask people, which way do you think the universe is set up? Do you think the universe is set up to say, let's use myself as an example, okay, Julie, I would like for you to work in jobs that might potentially have good health insurance, have a stable income, but you will be miserable, stressed out, and sick every day. Or does the universe want you to come in here and develop your gifts and do your purpose, be ecstatically happy to go to work every day, and the money and the abundance will come from that? You know, or the reverse of that is somebody say, oh, well, and you'll be horribly poor. But why would the universe want you to be horribly poor from what you came here to do? You wouldn't be able to do it. If you went into poverty from doing what you love and what your true purpose is authentically, you can kind of partially do what you love. Let's take the example of maybe a social worker who has no money because they make, $9 an hour and they do one of the toughest jobs in the whole world, and they feel like they're living their passion because they love working with people and helping people who are in, poor situations and stuff. But there's probably another avenue that they could do that same work in that they wouldn't have to deal with the poverty. So, I mean, what does the world really want from you? Do they want you to be poor and not be able to do your gifts? Or, what's the truth here? So when you look at it that way and you kind of start to objectify, usually women will say, well, of course I'm supposed to work my gifts. And, of course, the world is going to support me. I mean, I came off unemployment to go into this work that I'm doing now, and to the penny, I paid rent and paid my bills. To the penny, I have been supported throughout the process. So, you have to trust it. It's not like I'm some millionaire at this point, but, I absolutely trust the process. I know that when I go to my workshop, regardless of how many people are there, that is absolutely the work I love doing, and I would do it for free. If you wouldn't do the work you're doing for free, you're in the wrong work. Because once you could say, I'm doing the work that I would do for free, the money will come. It's just the way it is. It has to.
Right. And that's so true. And I've read and seen and heard people that have said, you know, well, maybe your passion isn't where your income is supposed to lie. And, you know, and possibly that could be true too, but you should not be hating. It's going to be vibrationally impossible for you to live your passions and hate your job. So you still have to enjoy your job, even if your passions are not where your income's coming from. You still have to be in something that you love doing.
Yeah, you do. And you can even open your thinking even more. Like, I mean, what is the purpose behind the thinking that asks that question in the first place that would tell us, like, oh, well, what you're passionate about might not be what you came here to do? Like, I mean, why would we even go into that logic? Because it doesn't even really make sense. So if we change our thinking a little bit and we say, how can I link my passion with the money that I know I deserve and all the abundance in the world I deserve? How can I link those two visions together and make them happen? And so as soon as you start searching for that answer instead of the other one, then it starts to happen. But, you know, if we want to, you know, use the excuse of the question that was previous, we can. I mean, it's a valid question. Every question in the universe is valid. But it doesn't mean that it comes from the way that the universe was designed to run. So I think we have to kind of surrender certain questions that don't serve us anymore and start asking ones that do. Like just, you know, how am I going to be a person who empowers women, does everything I love, has the freedom of schedule, of working for myself and being able to do my work from anywhere I want and empower women and incorporate ceremony and do all that, and how can I be abundant from doing that? So that's like where the power is. That's where I go with women, is to not do like the narrow thinking, but to open up and say, what's the bigger vision for myself? How can I expand even more? How can I be a millionaire from this? How can I be a billionaire from this? Because as soon as you start letting that thinking into your life, you can attract it. Instead of going like, well, if I make 50 grand, I'll be satisfied, which is where they love to go. Well, I just want to make a little bit, because they're afraid of saying, I deserve a lot. The world can gift us all with a lot. That's just the way it is. So you see where I'm kind of going with that?
Absolutely. And that was, you know, such a great turnaround to that. Thank you for offering that. That's really fantastic. That's great. So,
yeah,
Julie,
there's no
I do...
right or wrong. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, there is no wrong question. I don't want to imply that, like, any sort of the negative that we go into or anything, that stuff is wrong, because that's where we learn from. But just to develop our questions more and get to a place where the questions start to serve us a little bit deeper. So, anyway, sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, that's fine. You know, we only have about 5 minutes left in the show. So I wanted to ask, because I did meet you through your Raw Foods newsletter, and you said that from that is how you grew into this. So can you just briefly mention how you got into that and if anybody might be interested in that too, and also whether you have, I know I'm throwing a lot at you, if you also have like a newsletter for your Authentic Woman Coach section, is there a sign up for that, or how do people keep up with what you're doing regularly, like, through that?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways, but to just keep it simple, if you go to AuthenticWomanCoach.com, right there on the homepage is a sign-up for a newsletter and 3 free videos to begin dissolving your fears. And these are actual concrete steps you can do. They're not just like, oh, think about it a little. they're real steps, so that's the best way to sign up for, like, the women's empowerment stuff. If you're a guy and you connect with my energy, that's totally fine. You're welcome to sign up, too. And then the Healing Patch stuff is at rawhealingpatch.com. And that's where they can sign up for the newsletters if you're interested in health and well-being. It's not only raw food. It's a lot of it is vegetarian or just general health. You know, there's no judgment about people who eat meat or anything else there. And one of the best ways to follow what we do is to just follow our YouTube channel, which is where I put both the health videos and the women's empowerment videos. So if you go to Raw Healing Patch on YouTube or youtube.com/Raw Healing Patch, that's where you'll find all the videos. We've got like 320 videos or something that we've done over the last couple of years. So that's a great place to start. But I think you asked, you know, how did we get into the raw food and stuff and develop that business? And that just came from just my girlfriend and I. She had gone through cancer about a year or so before she met me. So I began to teach her about cleansing and things I had learned in the natural health movement when I was working in it. And we started to cleanse. We started to eat more raw foods. There's a before and after picture on the site you guys can check out. That's pretty crazy. And she cleared out all the kind of residual toxicity from the chemo and just really started to be energized and help much more healthy, I guess. So that's how we got into the more raw food business. And we wrote a cookbook that transitions people from cook to raw food. We've got a DVD to show you how to harvest wild edible foods. Everything you guys can think of is available there, and health coaching as well. I do health coaching for people if they're interested. So hopefully that answered kind of what you were asking.
It did. Now, did you have a family that supported this? I mean, I heard you say that your stepfather always had the news on and that you had coffee with your mom and her friends, but is your family into this kind of stuff, or did you have to go against that as well? Or did you have to ride from that?
They've never been into it. I mean, as a kid, my dad, my real dad, he sold Shaklee vitamins, and so he's always been health conscious, but nobody in my family knew about raw foods. It basically was just something I was kind of self-taught and self-researched and experimented because I worked in natural health stores for like about close to 10 years. So that's where that came from. But I did have to break away from my family, and as far as like the eating and the constant like holiday food and the masses of meat and cheese. And I'm not perfect. I mean, we still eat cooked food sometimes. Sometimes we'll still eat meat or cheese here and there. I mean, I don't eat any chicken and beef whatsoever right now, but you know, fish on the coast, sometimes smoked fish, something like that. But for the most part, yeah, we just had to kind of break away from like the whole family thing. That's like, you have to eat this way and what's going to happen and you won't get protein and all the thousands of questions, but they're just used to it now. I mean, they love it. They come to me for health information, so they're really quite open, and I appreciate them very much.
That's great. And honestly, I was, that's what I was looking for, is if they had done their turnaround yet, because I think that's one of the things that prevents people from stepping out, is they feel like they're going to isolate themselves from their family. And when you're doing the right thing for you, your family eventually recognizes that. They may not like it at first. They may not even support it at first, and it may take a long time. But they will come around as long as you're true to who you are.
Yeah, they will. They'll just sense it. I mean, it's like the old saying that says, like, ride off somebody else's vibe. I mean, it's true. You know, ride on to the car that feels good to you and use the energy of somebody else's vibe that you really like. And so when they sense that, when they sense, like, your health and your clarity, or if they sense you living your purpose, and you disassociate from the fear of that, they're going to say, oh, how can I do that too? Or at the very minimum, they're going to be proud of you, and really we don't need anything else. So, yeah, definitely stay with your vision and just your own truth.
Right, great. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of our time. We've probably got a little less than a minute. So, Julie, I want to thank you so much for being on here and for taking that leap and saying, I don't want to talk about raw food today. I want to talk about my passion.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a really wonderful interview and time with you, and just want to send a lot of love out there to your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. And please do, for anybody that's out there listening that might be joining in late or that might be catching the end of this or weren't really involved before, AuthenticWomanCoach.com is where you can find Julie and her newsletter and some steps that she's got there, some videos that are going to help you start to make your transition. Free 20-minute coaching session. She has a retreat coming up August 5th through 12th. All of that's wonderful stuff that you can find on her website. And if you want to contact her directly at this point, julie@authenticwomancoach.com. So please feel free. I'm sure that she's going to be just as warm and inviting speaking with her one-on-one as she has been in the interview. So with that said, I hope that you guys will join me again in 2 weeks when we're going to have Ann Gillis talking about Easyosophy. I'm looking forward to that as well. And I hope that you will keep up with us on The Honoring Hour, www.thehonoringhour.com. We're friends on Facebook. if you're not friends with us on Facebook, I mean, if you want to go to that website, you can link in with us there. We'd love to have you friend us on Facebook. And don't forget Blog Talk as well. Have a wonderful couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you soon.